Hi, Pastor Casey Holonchek here. Thank you for listening to our teaching sermons at Bangor Community Church in Bangor, California. This week, my head elder, Dave Deli, filled the pulpit for me, and we pick up as he opens up his teaching, reading a passage from Micah chapter 3. Enjoy and God bless.
What have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery and sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him and what happened from Shittim to Gilead. I think I'm in the wrong spot.
Yeah. No.
Yes, you are.
You're above it. Just keep going. You're almost there.
Okay. Let's start in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. It took me a while to get there, but that's where I wanted to be. Micah raises a very important question in verse 8 that we would do well to pay attention to it. The question is one of the most comprehensive and all-embracing statements of the Old Testament. What does the Lord require of you? Micah answers his own question and makes some important points. What shall I come to before the Lord and bow myself before the Most God Most High? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? What about 10,000 rivers of oil? Perhaps I will give my firstborn in place of my transgressions. And Micah raises the question, what does the Lord require of you? And then he answers his question. To do justice and to love kindness, mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we're going to look at it this morning at those three things. The answer is not more offerings, but the answer is to do the will of God. We can do all kinds of offering. We can present everything and think we're doing everything right, and in reality ignore what God really wants us to do. And so we need to bring our offerings before the Lord. I'm not saying not to do that. I'm just saying that there are some other things that God wants us to do. We would do well to heed these words, for it's a benefit for the Lord's church today. For as with all of the Old Testament, or with everything that is written in Scripture, it says it is written for our learning. Romans 15:4 states, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. Everything that we have in the Bible was written for us.
Yes.
And the instructions that are in there are clear. And unless we're in it, we won't know it. And we need to be there. Israel's thinking was based on the requirements of the Old Testament and the Levitical law of sacrifice. And that's where Micah starts. He says, and their way of thinking, to please God, was to bring more impressive and bigger offerings before God. year-old calves as burnt offerings, thousands of rams, thousands of rivers of oil. The bigger the better. We want to please God. And true, God did require these things because of their sin. Like the offerings of lambs and rams and calves. Leviticus 1:1 through 13 presents all of that. But Micah points out the absurd amount of oil and the offerings of the firstborn are examples of a hyperbole for the sake of emphasis. He's trying to say, you're thinking about this wrong. How big and impressive an offering can you make to please God and His holiness? Can you come up with a big offering that could do that? I can't even think of one. And from our text, or our context of our scripture, it appears ritualistic sacrifices alone did not please God. One cannot please God by simply offering innumerable sacrifices, giving up things precious to you. Religious rituals do not save us. Our salvation is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And to please God is not found in rituals, but it is doing the will of God. What did God require of Israel? Micah says, to do justly. This means to act towards God and man according to the divine standards of righteousness revealed in God's laws. This did involve the offering of sacrifices commanded by God, but it also involved treating their fellow man in a way that was right and that was fair. In treating one another right and fair, and treating God in the fairness of what He has asked us to do. Failure to do justly was one of the main reasons Israel went into captivity. And almost always in every case, like we're in Judges in our prayer meeting times, and it seems like God's blessing and everything's going great, and then they turn away from God and they go to other idols, and what happens? They get into trouble. And everything falls apart, and God's not there with them anymore. Not only do justly, but to love mercy or kindness. This means to show a compassionate, warm-heartedness towards mankind. Not only treat others fairly, but to show mercy and when mistreated ourselves. One reason they were to love mercy was because God Himself delighted in showing mercy. God is very merciful. He's been very merciful to me. He continues to show His mercy towards me, and He continues to give me His grace. And thirdly, to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, and to love mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. This involves living in humble and submissive obedience to the desire, to God's desires and will. It can only happen when we recognize the absolute holiness of a righteous God. It is the humbleness of heart and spirit that greatly pleases God. And a couple weeks ago, my wife and I took a trip to the coast. My idea was, I love the ocean, and I love to get my feet in the sand, and I love my feet in the water, and I love the ocean spray, and you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody love the ocean like I do? And it involved me being gone from the church. And so I was thinking, well, maybe we could find a Village Missions church over there in Fort Bragg. There is none. And then I got to looking at some of the other churches, and nothing just seemed to stand out to me. So here I am on Sunday morning, walking. Was it Sunday morning? Or was, yeah, Sunday morning. Walking
Saturday
down.
First.
Saturday first. Walking down the MacArthur's walkway out there, enjoying the ocean. Not very many people out there. And I go down, and there's no, like most of the ocean sides, they have a lot of driftwood. There wasn't very much there at all. And then I went down a little farther, and here was these big logs laying out there. So I went, well, okay, I'm going to walk down there and sit on that log and just kind of enjoy God's creation. And lo and behold, I look over here, and there's a guy sitting on a log, the next one over. And I got this urging. It was like the Spirit was saying, go over and talk to him. And God, I didn't come here to... That's not why I'm here. Go talk to him. And if you'd have known me years ago, Kathy knows, I'm not that way generally.
He's
I wasn't.
Sweating. He's perspiring.
Oh my goodness. It wasn't easy for me to just go talk to people. But God has worked in my life. So anyway, I go over and I start talking to this guy. And you would not believe how open he was to me talking to him. And it wasn't long and we're talking about God. And we're talking about Jesus. And we're talking about his saving power. And we're talking about how God can change your life. I sat out there for 45 minutes talking to this guy. And he said, when I got ready to go, he says, are you going to come back tomorrow? I said, yeah, I can come back tomorrow. This would be Sunday. So I told Kathy, I said, I don't care what else I do, but I do know I'm going back out to the same place and to see if he's there. There he was. And he saw me immediately. He said, come on over. And we spent another 45 minutes to an hour talking. And I found out so many wonderful things about him, and we had an awful lot in common in his growing up days and back his back history and everything. We're parallel. And so when I left, I prayed with him and prayed for him. And when I got finished with the prayer, he had these big tears coming down his eyes.
Praise God.
A couple days ago or a day ago, I got a call from him. He wanted to see that I was still around, and he told me, he said he would like to come by and to stop by and visit, but he had car trouble or truck trouble. And I told him, I said, you know, the fact that we met was not just happenstance. It was directed by God. And I believe God brought us together and God brought me into your life so that you will reconsider your relationship with the Lord and that you will begin to walk with him again. Sometimes we think we're doing what we want to do. We think that we're going the way we want to go. In reality, God moves us. Even though we're going someplace where we think we want to go, God has another plan. It's being open to God's Spirit. It's being humble and walking with God. I don't always do that. I have to tell you, I don't always do that. And I'm not always a good example. But it happens. And when you're open to what God wants to do in your life, those things will happen. And God will lead you. kind of gotten away from my sermon, but it has a lot to do with being, to do justly, to love mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly with my God. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but one thing I will look on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected a weightier matter of the law, justice, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. The Pharisees were very religious, but the Pharisees were so religious they didn't see God. And they made up their own rules, and they made up their own things, so that they could appear as if they were wonderful. And God, Jesus, calls them right out, calls them hypocrites. We can show people around us, and the people get a certain idea and opinion of us and everything, but in reality, what does the Lord see? What does God see? And you know in your heart what God sees. What might we think? Some might think all the Lord requires is observance on certain rituals. A lot of people attend church on Sunday as though it does, that this does happen, and that going to church is somehow puts you in good light before God, and be good light before a man. And I believe that people think that this is the true thing, that this is what we need, this is what required of us to do. I sometimes wonder if people really do believe this. That's the impression one gives by example, and that's the often the answer given by many. Why do people just come to church on Christmas and Easter? Doesn't make sense to me. Well, if you're going to come to church on Christmas and Easter, why don't you come the rest of the year? It just doesn't make sense. So certainly attending the services of church is important, very important. It's essential to obeying God, and it is required if we expect to grow spiritually. Hebrews 10:20-25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're told to come together. We're told to be together. Why? Because we build up and edify one another. We work towards good works and stirring up love, stirring up what God wants to happen in your life. Christians fail in their understanding of God and God's Word because they do not see the value of spending time in God's Word, and they fail to see the need to attend church on a regular basis. Or they do come, but they come with a critical spirit because they like or dislike the music, or they like or dislike the pastor, or they like or dislike the people, for instance. I'm not going because so-and-so's going there. When I first took over Mount Hope and we had a work program, and I asked for people to come up and help, and one guy said to me, he says, is so-and-so going to be there? And I says, I think they plan to be there. I'm not coming. What? Why not? They had some kind of a problem. I says, you know what? If you've got a problem with that person, what's the Bible tell you to do? Go talk to them. Instead, you're running the other way. Because you're holding on to your feelings and your pride, and you can't let it go, and you can't go deal with that person. We can't do that. Not in the body of Christ. The body of Christ has to love and forgive and to breathe. With these things in mind, we must ask, what happened to the humble and contrite spirit? What happened to the desire to worship God and to understand His word more clearly? And what happened to the build-up and edifying of the body of Christ? According to a news report, Pastor Casey last Wednesday gave us a Legionnaires ministry report, and I have it here. Anybody wants to read it, it's right here. It's very, very important reading. According to the news of the Legionnaire Ministries, the people have different views of belief in God and salvation and ethics and the Bible. They report that American evangelicals are deeply confused about some of the core doctrines of the Christian faith. Legionnaire wanted to know what Americans believed about God, salvation, and the Bible. And the majority agreed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that He rose from the dead. That's as far as it went. However, they rejected the Bible's teaching on the gravity of sin, the importance of the churches gathering together for worship, and a misconception of the Holy Spirit of God. This is some of what Legionnaires report. More than two-thirds, 69%, disagree that the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. In my book, their sin is sin. In my book, there is no degree of sin. Although to us it looks like, you know, there's a difference between lying and stealing and cheating than murder. That's the way we look at it, and so we have like a scale here. Oh, this one's pretty bad, but this one, it's not so bad. God says it's sin. A majority of U.S. adults, 58%, said that worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regular church attendance, and only 30% disagree. A majority of U.S. adults, 59%, say that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a personal being. What does your Bible tell you? Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. They're God. He's God. In their survey, Legionnaires cites relativism for such a casual matter of personal opinion. Beliefs, religious beliefs is a matter of personal opinion. When does that happen? And not about objective truth. And I heard one of our senators say, truth is not truth. He said that. Did you hear it? And one in three evangelicals, 32%, say the same. And it gets even worse. Many evangelicals believe that most people are basically good, 52%, that God accepts worship all religions, and that Jesus was the first greatest being created by God the Father. He wasn't created. Crazy. These are only a few of the things that this survey points out. If you want to read more, I have the copy here. And I think Casey has more copies.
He's going to have copies next week, yeah. He's going to have them in the back.
It's appalling. It's appalling what the church is saying today. Where are they getting this teaching? And why aren't they in the Word themselves? And why aren't they finding it out that these things are inaccurate, that these things are wrong, and they're... They just are way off in left field somewhere. We must be in God's Word daily if we are to begin an understanding of God and what He requires of us. We must attend church regularly to worship God, to get fed from the Word of God, and to get the support of other believers as we build up and edify one another in the faith. We must become so familiar with the Word of God that we become obedient to what God expects from us. Amen. This morning I had Frank read Ephesians 5:1-16. Therefore be imitators or followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. And then he goes on, talks about all these things, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and all those things. That's not to even be mentioned among us. Because it says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. They do not have an inheritance. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Boy, I can't imagine the thunder of the wrath of God. That is scary. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, this is the light that he's talking about. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. There is absolute truth. Don't have anybody tell you that some things are not true when they really are. The truth is truth. It can't be anything different. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things that are done to them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What God does require of us to do justly. To do justly is to act towards God by giving to Him your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. You give Him your complete self. A lot of times, like we talked about this morning, we know what's right when it comes to worry, we know, but it is so hard to actually to trust God and to put it into practice and say, you know, yeah, I'm worrying, God. And I know I worry too. And I think we all do. You're not alone. God knows. God hears. God sees. God knows our heart. God knows how soft we can be. God knows. He knows how hard we can be. Opening yourself up to God's wisdom and understanding and judgment is so important. Open yourself up. Open your life. Bear it before God. He already knows. You're not giving him anything he doesn't already know. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants your soul. He wants your spirit. That's what God wants. All the things that we do that we think we're doing to please God don't mean a thing unless he has those things. Unless he has your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. To love him with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, spirit. And it says also to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're loving yourself like that, then your neighbor's going to get the same benefit. When I was going through college and I was living in this little house and I had a little puppy. And the puppy went next door and grabbed my neighbor's paper and shredded it. What was my responsibility? Shoot the dog? My responsibility was to go down and get another paper and give that to my neighbor and to clean up the mess my dog made and to make sure he didn't do it again. I think of these things now, where back then I wasn't quite so thoughtful. And when we ignore those things, when God says something to you, go buy him a paper, you go buy him a paper. Go speak to him on the log, you go speak to him on the log. To do justly is to act towards God according to God's divine laws. We find his laws in his word. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing. And how? Hearing by the word of God. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We sing a song like that. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalms 119:11. Not only to do justly towards God, but to do justly towards our fellow man, towards one another, according to God's divine laws. Ephesians 4:25-29, therefore putting away lying, that each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That, if we can do that in our life, if we can do put that to practice, look what happened. Look what would happen. We can't fight with our neighbors. We can't argue with our neighbors. We can't do that. We have to be loving and kind. We have to treat them as if we wanted to be treated, just the way we want to be treated. And these things we learn from God's word, and it takes and helps us to do justly. Micah also points out how we need to love mercy. Love mercy or kindness, and to show compassion, warm-heartedness towards men. Show your love and mercy and compassion towards the widows and the fatherless, James 1:27. Showing love and mercy and compassion towards your enemies. It says in Luke 6:35-36, to love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Showing love and mercy and compassion towards one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not only are we to do what justice requires, But what mercy and kindness also require, and benevolence and charity and love require. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they call it the love chapter. Read it over until you know it by heart. Because that's the way we're supposed to live. Because if we do some of these things, all we do is become like a big sounding cymbal. And we're not making any effort at all. Mike also tells us to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with our God. Walking with God is to enjoy His fellowship and to continue His continual cleansing and cleanse by the blood of Jesus. It says in James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When you draw close to God, and you draw closer to God, and God draws closer to you, guess what happens? A cleansing takes place. A cleansing takes place. And God starts taking those old sinful habits and those old sinful things that we seem to hang on to, and God begins to wash them out of your life, and He begins to cleanse you and to make you more like His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm emotional today because these are emotional things to me. These are things I've had to learn. Walking humbly with God, where does it start? It starts with confession of our sins. You can't even begin to get close to God until you confess your sin. God can't even look on sin. We've got to go with a humble spirit. We've got to come before Him with asking for forgiveness and confession. And confessing our sins. And God says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 and 9, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To enjoy close communion and fellowship with God requires us daily to listen to Him, study His Word, and to learn His will. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Receive God's Word. Take it in. Take it all in. Because that's where it's at. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Talking to God daily is so important. Praying for strength and forgiveness. Praising Him and the blessings that you receive from Him. Keep that communication open. Keep that relationship open. And every time you sin, confess it. Confess it now. Because it is only going to keep you from having that fellowship and that walk with the Lord that you so badly need. Hebrews 4:14-16. See then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious or worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Walking with God is doing His will in humble submission to Him and to His Word. And walking with us, Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savor. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you're light, and the Lord walk as children of light. Verse 15, then see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. By walking humbly with God, we are most likely to keep in balance to the demands to be justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Even though we live under grace, the Lord still requires that we do those things: justly, mercy, humbleness to God. Not as rituals, but from the heart. God wants your heart, and that's the most important thing that we can give Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy, your compassion. Lord, thank you for your Spirit that teaches us in all wisdom and all understanding. Lord, we're just all sinners. And we need the grace of God. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Bigger trouble than we know. Lord, continue to work in our lives. Continue to draw us closer to yourself. Continue to cleanse us. Continue to wash us from our iniquities and our sins. And create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.